Thank you, and we're happy and grateful, dear friends, to be on the air again with the wonderful gospel of the wonderful grace of God. Hearty welcome to you all, and especially to our first-time listeners. I hope that you'll enjoy this study in the Word of God so much that you'll want to make some kind of a reminder to remind yourself to listen to Bible Time every week at this time. Now then, I want to read to you a very brief passage from Galatians 3, verses 6, 7, 8, and 9. And listen carefully, because one of these verses has a riddle in it. Now then, Galatians 3, beginning at verse 6. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen or the Gentiles through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful or believing Abraham. Now I want to read to you especially again, verse 8, and the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. Now this passage has baffled many a earnest Bible student and even Bible teacher. And now I would like to read to you for a third time that very brief verse in Galatians 3, verse 8. The Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. Now this passage from the pen of Paul has baffled many a diligent Bible student. The argument of the passage itself, that is, the passage as a whole from verses 6 to 9, is very simple. Verse 6, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Verse 7, Know ye therefore that they which be of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Verse 9, So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. But what has verse 8 to do with this? Why does the apostle inject into his argument a quotation from Genesis 12:3 that the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed? How does God's promise of blessing through Abraham prove that the Gentiles were to be justified by faith? Well, there are at least two ways in which Abraham proved a blessing to the world. First, Israel, through whom the world will someday be blessed, sprang from him. Second, Christ, through whom Israel will become the world's blesser, sprang from him, from Abraham. But there's a third way in which Abraham has proved a blessing to all nations. Let's go back to the quotation of Paul from Genesis 12:3 in his argument to the Galatians. Now, his whole argument, as we've seen in verses 6 to 9, is simply that God justifies the poor Gentiles to whom he made no promises by faith. But why does he say that God, foreseeing this, preached the good news to Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed? Now, if the quotation had been, By faith shall all nations be blessed, there'd be no problem. But the quotation he did choose, at first sight, is a bit beside the point. First, let's notice that this quotation is part of the first promise that God made to Abraham. Second, notice that it does not say, In thy seed, but in thee shall all nations be blessed. Now, it's true that Abraham has proved and will prove a blessing to the world because of the seed that sprang from him. But it's deeply significant that this original promise in Genesis 12 holds out blessing to the world through Abraham himself. Now, some people think that when it says he preached before the gospel to Abraham, it means the gospel of the grace of God. This cannot be. Even the 12 apostles worked with Christ for 3 years and preached the gospel of the kingdom before they knew that Christ would even die, let alone all that that death would accomplish. Oh no, the good news to Abraham was, in thee shall all nations be blessed. But how was Abraham himself to prove a blessing to the world? There's only one answer: as God's great example of faith. God's great example of faith. If there is anything that stands out in the record of Abraham's life, it's the fact that he believed God. Even the Encyclopedia Britannica that I have in my study called special attention to the fact that the outstanding characteristic of Abraham's life was his implicit and childlike faith in God. Now, in Scripture, Abraham is consistently held up as the great example of faith. Especially is this true where Paul's epistles are concerned. To the Jew who goes about to establish his own righteousness by religious works and boasts of his circumcision, Paul exclaims, "Why, your own father, Abraham, was justified by faith without works. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness which he already had," says Paul. And he uses the same argument to persuade the Gentiles that salvation is by grace through faith alone. Now, it was because God had chosen Abraham as the great example of faith that he said, "In thee shall all nations be blessed." Now, let's read again Galatians 3, 6-9, and see how simply this fits in and how consistent it is. How appropriate is Paul's quotation from Genesis 12? Now, listen again. "Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith," those who believe, you see, "are the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles through faith, preached before the good news to Abraham," the man of faith, you see, "saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." Now, it's most remarkable that God should have chosen Abraham to be the great example of faith. For if you should ask who is the most honored, most esteemed, most respected and revered man of all history, there could be but one answer: Abraham. In this respect, Moses, David, Solomon, Daniel, and all the rest cannot even stand in his shadow. As to our Lord, he should be the most honored, but alas, his name is still blasphemed on every street corner. Without question, Abraham is and has always been looked up to by greater numbers of people than any character in history. More than 14 million Jews scattered all over the world still speak with reverence of our father Abraham. Then there are more than 1 billion professing Christians, whether truly saved or not, who also look up to Abraham as the father of the faithful, the father of believers. Besides these, there are some 528 million Mohammedans who also claim Abraham as their father. How appropriate, then, that God should point to this man as the great example of justification by grace through faith, through faith alone. It's further significant that Abraham, God's great example of faith, was raised up so long before Paul, God's great example of grace. Some centuries after Abraham, God was to give Israel the Mosaic Law with all its restrictions and the don'ts and do's. If they obeyed this law, indeed, God said they would be his peculiar treasure. But even then, God would show them that obedience to the law in itself cannot procure his favor. It was only as they took the law seriously to be God's word and obeyed it because it was God's word that they could gain acceptance with him. In other words, only as an expression of faith in God could the works of the law ever help them in any way. It was the obedience of faith that God desired and required, and every Jew could look back to his father Abraham and learn this lesson. For Abraham was justified by faith, apart from works. But while all this could be understood by every Jew, the dispensation of the grace of God could not be ushered in until sin had abounded to such a degree that Israel joined the Gentiles in rebellion against God and his Christ. It was then that Saul, the flaming leader of the world's rebellion against God, was saved and sent forth as God's great example and God's great herald of grace. But now that God's grace has been manifested so fully and freely, there's all the more reason to accept it by simple faith. Hence Paul, the great example of grace, points to Abraham, the great example of faith, urging all men everywhere to follow in his steps. Hear him plead in the first few verses of Romans 4. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. You're not getting it by grace, then you're earning it. But, he goes on in verse 5, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith, his believing, is counted for righteousness. Now, beloved, this is repeated again and again in the Word of God. I didn't say it, God does. He says that if you, no matter how ungodly, will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, believe what God has said about Christ, he will count your faith for righteousness. Picture the scene with Abraham. Abraham, born and brought up in a wicked pagan environment, a pagan family. And yet now he wants to follow God. He would fain know the joy of acceptance with God. How shall he find it? How shall his sins be paid for? Oh, he says, I'll do whatever God says. I'll do whatever God says. And God says, you see, he's leaving it all to me. That pleased God. It honored God. And God says, I'll take care of it all. I'll pay for his sins for him. And Abraham's faith was counted for righteousness, though he didn't know all that God would do to save him. And in the same way, Paul says, now, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith, his believing, is counted for righteousness. Go on in the 9th and 10th verses. We say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? While he was in circumcision, or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. He was not yet the chosen father of the Hebrew nation, not yet. He was a poor, uncircumcised Gentile, as the Hebrews would call him. Well, the 16th verse, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all his seed, not only that which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. That us all means believing Jews and believing Gentiles. How wonderful. Then go on in verse 23 to the end of the chapter and the first verse of the next. Listen now. Now it was not written for Abraham's sake alone that righteousness was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom righteousness will be imputed if we believe in him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? I've found it to be true for more than 55 years. Listen, I'm going to repeat it. Therefore, verses before, Christ died for our sins and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:9, so then, they which be of faith are blessed with faith full with believing Abraham. Oh, has this message perhaps fallen on the ears of some stranger to God's wonderful grace? If so, I beg of you, whether Jew or Gentile, to look at Abraham and learn from him. He believed God before there was any law of Moses. He believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. And if you believe God, trusting in his Son as your Savior, it will be counted to you for righteousness. You'll be accepted in the Beloved One. Ephesians 1:6. God will look upon you as complete in him. Colossians 2:10. He'll enrich you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1:3. As long as you continue trying, you'll continue failing. Begin now to throw your deadly doing down at Jesus' feet. Stand in him alone, gloriously complete. Begin trusting. Believe God when he says he loves you and gave Christ to die for your sin. Believe God when he offers you salvation as the gift of his love. Will you do it? Now, follow the truth of P.P. Bliss's great hymn, Once for All. Free from the law, oh happy condition, Jesus hath bled, and there is remission. Cursed by the law and bruised by the fall, grace hath redeemed us once for all. Now are we free, there's no condemnation. Jesus provides a perfect salvation. Come unto me, oh, hear his sweet call. Come, and he saves us once for all. Children of God, oh, glorious calling, surely his grace will keep us from falling, passing from death to life at his call. Blessed salvation, once for all. Once for all, oh sinner, receive it. Once for all, oh brother, believe it. Cling to the cross, the burden will fall. Christ hath redeemed us once for all. Now God wants us, beloved, us believers, to stand firm in this great truth that salvation is by grace through faith alone. Thanks for listening, and God bless you, each one.